As Jim mentioned earlier, there's no children's church today. And it's our privilege to hear from John this morning. John, if you want to come on up. John Larson is a student at Barclay College. Larson with an O. And John's from the Northwest. And he's been here for a year, right? And so he's got a great story and was able to be part of an internship in Wichita this summer. And so, John, thank you for being here this morning.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. And I know it's a tough morning. I kind of struggled whether to come this morning and share my testimony. But as I reflected, and knowing Hope personally, she was one of my biggest supporters. She was a prayer warrior, and she loved hearing about my story. And I know over the summer she had Facebooked me and was always encouraging me and to pray for me and just rooting and cheering me on. So that gave me the comfort to come this morning and to follow through on something that I think she would have loved to have heard. And I know that she's here in spirit. And but anyway, it is really so good for me. I'm really happy to be back in Haviland. You know, over the summer, a lot of you were definitely cheering me on and praying and you know, and are excited for me to be back in town. And, you know, when I came back and helped a friend over the summer move in, you know, above Origins, that normal 10-minute walk from there to the Bears Den became an hour walk because everyone texted everyone told them I was in town. So they all came, and it was like a big gathering. And that's the kind of community that we have here in Haviland. And I feel privileged to be a part of. So thank you for making me feel welcome and being a part of the community here. So I come from an LDS family, you know, from the state of Utah, and you know, my mom and dad kind of divorced before I was born. He had left a few months before I was born, and my mom ultimately divorced him, and she got excommunicated. And so she just picked his kids up and moved to Denver, and back in 1973. And so that was like the beginning of my journey, yeah. And I really do believe, you know, of course I didn't believe at the time, but I think God prepared me for this moment today and for the internship over the summer. And you know, as I reflected back on my life, and you know, God has a reason for everything that happens, and a lot of us don't understand why things happen; they just do. And today, I can say that everything happens for a reason, and I feel comfortable with saying that. And I wasn't always in that place. You know, I did a lot of blaming growing up. You know, why did God do this? Why did God do that? Why would he allow me to grow up in a house that was broken, violent? You know, sometimes we didn't, as kids, we didn't get fed because we didn't have money. And so I was pretty angry growing up. And through that anger, I kind of ended up self-medicating, you know, and that was my escape. That was my way of feeling better, because I didn't have any other options. I wasn't, our household didn't talk about, it wasn't a Christian home. You know, sure, we come from an LDS family, but we were excommunicated, so that would, you know, we didn't, our core family, I mean, we just had those resentments. I mean, we were like, why? How can a God love you but yet turn back on you? And, you know, it wasn't later on till I was able to come to peace with that and realize that God didn't do that. It was people making decisions. Our God is a merciful God. He's a graceful God, and He would not turn your back on you. But growing up, I always believed that that's what he had done, because that's what I saw growing up. That's, I didn't know any better. So my mom, through her own, for whatever reason, I mean, she always found, the only comfort that she could find in is she felt that she needed a man. So she kind of married multiple times, and they weren't always the best people. So I didn't really have the stability of a father figure, and what I did see was not very good. And so I ended up moving out when I was a teenager, because I couldn't, it was either me or my mom's husband at the time, and I knew enough to where, you know, I knew that life didn't have to be that way for me. And even at 13, being somewhere else is better than being at home. So I did a lot of, staying with friends and letting, and they pretty much were apprised of what was going on in my house. So they always felt, I think God put these people in my life for a reason. They gave me a roof over my head, and it got me through school. Even though I had ended up dropping out when I was a junior in high school and later getting my GED. And I really don't know how I did that, because I was pretty messed up. I didn't have Christ in my life. I was always being a rebel, trying to run the show, what have you. But growing up, I was introduced to the Church of Christ. I was 12, 13. Got baptized, and I got involved in like Bible Bowl and youth groups, and that became my solace. It was my escape from home life, and so I really wasn't going in it with an open heart. I was like, okay, so I don't need to be at home on those days. I can be involved in this, and so I became. I guess what they call Sunday goers. I would go, and I would go follow through, and I wouldn't really have, I was not a very faithful person. I still had that anger inside me, and that kept me out using and running and gunning, and eventually got me into trouble, and got through school, and barely, and through my adult life, my 20s, my 30s, my early 40s, and it wasn't really until 5 years ago that I really hit rock bottom, and I had to make a decision at that point whether, either continue doing what I was doing or trying something new. And I think at that point God really started talking to me, and I think he was always with me, but I just ignored him for a lot of years, and so for whatever reason, back in 2010, after collapsing from using and an abscess arm and being on the street and being homeless for 6 years, that was kind of like my wake-up call, and God really started putting people, places, and things into my life and really planted that seed with me. But at the time I didn't really realize, because for whatever reason I wasn't always present, but God had put missionaries in my life. They would stop by me on my corner, they would sit with me, and that's all they did. I wouldn't speak to them for like 8 months, because I didn't trust them. But eventually I said, thank you. Thank you for not letting me be alone. I think at that point it was a turning point for me. So I really started praying for the first time, really, with an open heart and with good intention. And I eventually got into drug treatment, graduated drug treatment. Started to get into a program, a 12-step program. And I really do believe that God really started talking to me at that point, and I eventually outgrew this program. It wasn't allowing me to do what God wanted me to do. And I'm not knocking the 12-step programs, but eventually, if you're really going into it with an open heart, then God's going to lead you in other places. And that's what he did with me. He led me back. He led me into ministry. He gave me that calling. And so I didn't know what to do. You know, I was like, you know, the ministry scared me. I didn't know anything about it. But I knew that God was calling me. And so God ended up putting a pastor into my life. And, you know, he kind of molded me and just encouraged me and to continue the outreach that I was doing, which was with guys, with young men that was struggling with alcohol and drugs. And so I did that. And then he just, out of, you know, just one day he sat me down and goes, John, he goes, you know, we sat here and watched you, the elders, and we just, you know, we just all feel that you have this calling to be a pastor. You have a pastoral heart. And I really think you ought to think about going to school or going into ministry or what have you. Well, that really scared me, and I was kind of ignoring that call, really. And God kept yelling louder and louder, and he would, like, put people in my path. Like, I'd be out in the community, and I've had people, like, pull over, you know, and ask me for a ride, and, you know, and I normally don't get into strangers' cars or what have you, but anyway, for whatever reason, I did. And the guy goes, this is kind of really strange to me, and I don't know why, but he goes, I feel obligated or I feel compelled to pray with you. And I didn't know him from Adam. He goes, there's something going on. He goes, I saw you and I just got this feeling I needed to pull over and I wanted to pray with you. So we did. I continued to ignore that call, though. It was a couple of weeks after that. I was in the health food store in McMinnville, which isn't too far from Newburgh in Oregon. Just got done with an area business meeting for the NA program. And I was with some friends. We were in line to pay. We were getting ready to pay for lunch. And these two young ladies walk in. And they were walking around the store, and they had passed us. And then they came back, and they pulled me out of line. And she goes, can we pray with you? So I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? And she goes, we really feel God's really doing some things in your life, and we want to pray with you. So we prayed openly in the middle of a store. And my friends that are in the Narcotics Anonymous program, they're like, has John lost his mind? Who is he with? Yeah, who is he praying with? They ended up being missionaries from Ohio. And that day, you know, I kind of held it in until after we prayed and stuff. And I had just gotten a call from Barclays stating that I got accepted into the program here. So, and then one of the younger ladies I was with, the older one, and she just busted out in tears. Because I think even when she was on her mission, she probably had a little bit of doubt, but it gave her confirmation that God's alive and He's in charge of everything. And for whatever, you know, it was just like one of those spiritual moments that if you could really go back in time, I mean, I would have that every time because it was such a high, you know, and. So knowing that what I'm supposed to do and actually doing them were two different things for me. I mean, coming to Barclay was kind of scary for me. I'm older. I'm 48. I was 47 at the time. And you know, I joke with the students here about being older, and, you know, I think it's a way for me to cope sometimes, and sometimes I get insecure, but that only lasted for a couple of weeks after getting here. You know, the community here is such a, you know, inclusive body of Christians and the same faith, and everyone's cheering each other on, and so I get here on campus, and I still don't know what I'm doing here. You know, I come a long ways. I flew. I left all my friends back home, and my friends still think I'm nuts. They still call me and ask me when I'm coming home, and I'm still alive from Dave Williams, I hope, that I heard over the ministry conference, and it was like a one-way mission trip. You never know when you're going home. And that holds true to me, because I don't know when I'm going home. God knows, you know, and I don't think he's done with my work out here. So I came back, and I was offered the internship, and, you know, I really selfishly wanted to go back home because I miss my friends. I'm just like anybody else, you know. I got things going on at home, that probably need my attention, but, you know, I really had to pray on it and Hope White and Keith White were one of my biggest supporters, not only emotionally, or they were praying for me, but financially they were one of my biggest backers for this internship. And they were one of the first people that called me up and said, you know what, come over, we got a check for you. You know, so I had my money raised in 4 days, so that, you know, that told me that I needed to do this internship. And the intention of the internship was to have several students, you know, 4 from Texas and then me. And on that application, it says they were looking for 18 and 21-year-olds. So I don't know. And I didn't see that, or else I would have never applied. You know, so I call up Jesse Penham. I'm like, Jesse, I got $1,000 for you. What do I do with it? He's like, what? He goes, you're the only one that got the money. You're going to be the only intern. I'm like, So even though the intention was to be embedded in the community that I was going to do this internship, I ended up having to ride a bike 2 miles into this targeted area every day. Instead of 2 months, it became a 3-month journey. So, and what a journey it was, really. And we're good to go ahead. If you want to follow along, Matthew 9:35-37, out of the NIV. This is something that we used to pray on every day. If I can find it here. Okay. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And I focused on the few, because I was the only internship. I was the only intern, but during the internship project, I was able to form 3 relationships that really spoke to me. And you know, I spent a lot of these last 5 years running from my past, you know, kind of running from my past. I don't want to be reminded that was the kind of life that I had. Well, one of the first people that I met was struggling with alcohol and drugs. And that was only a coincidental, because the person I was really talking to and ministering to was not receptive, and this gentleman happened to be with them. And he had asked for my phone number after I got done talking to his friend, and he ended up calling me like 10 days afterwards. And all he really wanted was for someone to sit with him and listen. And as volatile as that was for me, you know, watching someone DT and going through whatever he had to go through and being mean, throwing stuff, and just praying silently. And he called me the following week, same thing. And the hard part for me at first was being obedient and just listening to the Holy Spirit and letting that speak to me. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to go ahead and do this one more time. Same thing, I sat with him. And by the third time, he was calm. And that was within the third week, he was calm. And I was able to have dinner with him and his family. And we became good friends over the summer. Yeah, he still struggles. But I think the seed was planted with him. And it's not my job to see the fruit. My job was to plant that seed and let someone else water it, I think. So I'm hoping, and then later I find out that he was going by this park that we used to do some mission work, Riverside Park in Wichita, and he'd drive by a couple times. I thought I spotted his car once, but I thought I was losing my mind. But but anyway, he drove by, and he just wanted to see what it was like for someone to go from point A to point B, and I was point B, and he was point A. He goes, how do you go from struggling to what you're doing now? And all I can say to him is because I have God in my life. I have Jesus in my life. And I don't have to go through it alone. And that's all I really said to him. And the second kind of relationship was... That I was able to form was, during the internship, I got to be, involved in a diverse culture and people of different faiths, and I ended up becoming really good friends with this priest. And he wasn't a priest yet. He was a second-year seminary student for the priesthood. And he volunteered with me at the Lord's Diner. Or the truck, and the Lord's Diner, for those who don't know, is a place, it's a charity organization that feeds the homeless in Wichita, and they also have three food trucks that go into different areas of Wichita and feed the homeless. And so I did that once a week, and I got to know this priest, and he used to always tell me, he's like, he goes, we have a lot of things in common. He goes, I'm a second year seminary student, you're a second year college student at Berkeley. We're men of faith. But he always reminded me that I was the old guy. He was 21, 22. And, that taught me that it doesn't matter what faith background that we come from. We both had a lot in common. We both have a love for Christ and God. So we were able to form that relationship right away. And unfortunately, he ended up losing his life over the summer. He was in a kayaking accident. And that was pretty tough for me. But also reminded me why I was in that internship. And that's to help others. That was the last memory I had of Brian. He got outside himself. And for whatever reason, the last time that we worked together, he was just like, he was excited. There was something different in the air that day, and I couldn't pinpoint it, and I was just like, this kid is happy, at peace, man. And that's my hope, is to be there someday. But the third relationship that I was able to form was part of my ESL class I got to be a part of on Mondays, and ultimately got to teach. And he was a gentleman from Puerto Rico. He ended up getting a four-year degree. And he was working on a master's here in Wichita. And he needed to know English. So, but anyway, through our love for Christ, our love for Christ is the universal language. So we both knew what praying and what God was and what church was. So we just became very close, and we were able to have lunch several times and dinner. But through the summer, I was able to get this video put together. And the original video was like 22 minutes, but we don't have 22 minutes. And then I couldn't upload it for whatever reason, so I had my coach, Chrissy Buck, who put a last-minute video ready for my for the ministry conference to present it. And so I kind of saved it, and I wanted to share it with you guys today. It's a montage of pictures over the summer. It shows us doing some mission work for Douglas Park and Riverside Park, you know, feeding the homeless and bringing clothes for them. And you'll probably recognize some of the people in the video. They're part of, some of them are part of my internship team, you know, Carrie Corliss, Alan Corliss, Randy and Charlene Littlefield, Chrissy Buck, the Hickeys, Brian Hickey and his parents, and Charlie Mullins, who is in charge of my stewardship. And you'll see them in there, as well as non-Christians, and you'll get to see some of the work that we got to do. So thank you for letting me share my story.
Would you join me in thanking John again, wherever you went, someplace, for sharing with us? There it is. Thank you, John. You know, as John was sharing, I don't know what how the Lord was speaking to you or what takeaways you have today, but I'd like to share with you just three briefly as I'm listening to John, that ways that I've been encouraged and reminded here today, and perhaps some of these will resonate with you. One is, it's a reminder that there's hope for change. John, we see that in your story, and just reminded of 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I mean, what great encouragement that is. And so it's a reminder to me that if I know someone, if you know someone who doesn't know the Lord yet, someone who maybe is really struggling in their life in whatever way, it's too soon to stop praying for them. You know what I mean? We need to continue to pray. God isn't finished with them. God loves them, and thank you for that reminder that there really is hope for change. And a second kind of reminder, John, listening to your story today, is no matter your age, God can use you. And by the way, for some of us, 48 years old is getting younger all the time. For some of us in this room. For others, it's still pretty old. But for others, it's younger. And so there's that little reminder. It's not an age thing. It's a heart thing. Whether you think you are young, whether you think you are old, the question is, are we yielded to the Lord? Are we willing to be used in whatever way that might mean? And so there's really some encouragement there for us. None of us are disqualified. Probably some of us need to quit reading the age restriction on the application. I mean, don't really if you're applying for things. But you know what I'm saying. We need to remember that God really can use us. It's not an age thing. It's a heart thing, being willing to be used by him. And then just a final thing, John, I mean, many others, but another one is that God can even use the pains of our past when we yield them to him for his glory. And you've shared with us some of the pains of your own personal story. But it's interesting to see how the Lord has even used some of those pains of your past, some of the hurt places, in turn to be used to be helpful and healing and encouraging to others. And that's a great reminder for all of us, because every single one of us in this room has some pains. Every single one of us in this room has some hurts, some woundedness in our past. The Lord can use that, even that. It's not just our skill, our ability, whatever we think our strength is. I mean, God can use that too, right? But he can even use the pains of our past for his glory as we yield ourselves to him. So, John, thank you for sharing with us today. And I'd like to invite all of us, if you would just to stand with me for a moment as we close our time in prayer. Lord, we thank you today especially for John and his life. Thank you for the ways that you have used him, for the journey that he's been on, and for his willingness to share a piece of that here with us today. And we pray that you would continue to pour out your blessing upon him in these days ahead, that as he continues to learn and experience things here at Barclay and in other ways, I pray that you would help him to be continually prepared for the rest of that ministry journey and calling that he has shared with us today and that you have placed upon his life. And Lord, we also pray in that same way for each of us here today. As we hear John's story, Lord, we're reminded that you are great and you are good and you are able to help each of us at our points of need. Lord, we desire to yield our own woundedness and pasts to you, and that you would use not just the things that we think of as our strengths, but even those things, maybe especially those things we think of as our own weaknesses, that you would help us to yield those things to you, and that you would use all of us for your glory and for the good of others, every part. Lord, help us not to disqualify ourselves mentally because of our age or stage or experiences in life, but help us to listen to you and to your calling and to follow you, taking steps of faith and obedience as we hear your call. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your presence here with us today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Help us to live and to be your people even this week. We thank you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Live for the Lord today. Thank you.